okay, all of this tariff talk, and what are you, an economist? I'm not. And have you noticed that suddenly things from China are 1.5 times more expensive? I haven't. I didn't do it again today. I meant to look at all the labels of the clothes I'm wearing, but I'll bet I'm not wearing anything made in America. I've got some Levi's on. I've just got some cheap sneakers from Target. I've got some WGN radio socks. I don't know where those were made.
We made those here. We made them here.
I'll bet they weren't made in Cook County. I'm wearing glasses, which were fabriqued en France. And I don't know about this sweater I got at Macy's. Anyway, I thought it would be helpful if we sort of just talked about it in very concrete terms. And lo and behold, there's a store, and I guess we could have done this with any business in Chicagoland now, a grocery store, a car dealer. But in this case, let's just writ small talk to somebody who's dealing with it. Here is Tyler McCall, who is the co-owner of Paper and Pencil in Andersonville. He sells, well, Tyler, welcome to the show. What do you sell at your store?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, John. So we sell a variety of high-quality stationery goods and supplies from around the world. So journals, notebooks, pens, tapes, greeting cards, letter writing essentials, fountain pens, all sorts of things in that category.
You had a moment of fame some time ago, didn't you, unrelated to merchandise?
You know, I think so, and you may have chatted about it on your show. I experienced a sudden cardiac arrest last spring and was saved by a bystander on the sidewalk here in Andersonville.
Good Samaritan Saves Man was the headline or something like that. Somebody came upon you, they were able to do CPR, and here you are healthy and well and talking on the radio.
That's right, yes. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't be chatting with you today.
Well, I'm glad you are. And I'm also very interested in your business. So you sell, would you describe it as high-end stationary goods then at your place?
You know, we're not in the upper echelon of something like Atlas Stationers, you know, our resident pen shop there in downtown in the Loop, Chicago. You know, they're doing a lot with more high quality, fine writing tools. We sell some of those, but we are selling a lot more like journaling supplies, snail mail supplies for people that love, you know, keeping a planner, sending cards, keeping a diary, those types of things. So most items in our shop, I would say the average cost of an item is about $5. Most of our customers spend about $30 to $40 when they come in and make purchases with us. So we're not selling $100 fountain pens every day in the shop.
How's business for you guys?
Things have been great. We are getting ready to celebrate our second anniversary. People really love our shop. We have a really engaged community around what we're doing. We're the only shop like ours on the far north side, so I think that helps as well. So things have been going really well. Our shop has continued to grow. We just hired our third employee in the past few weeks, so things have been going well so far.
You and I talked for a while yesterday, and you posted a thing online that described how tariffs will impact you. In general, how do tariffs impact you?
Yeah, for us, we import over half of our items from outside of the United States because there is a lot of incredible stationery created in Europe and in Asia, and people want to be able to shop that here at home. They don't want to have to place an order online and pay shipping for an item they may not like. They want to see it in person. They want to feel the paper, try out the pen, and they want to buy it there at the shop. So for us, since we are importing a majority of our products, it's going to directly impact what we're selling in the store. And right now, it's creating a lot of confusion, a lot of kind of anxiety. As you've been reporting, things are changing sometimes day by day, sometimes within the same day. So if anything, it's creating a lot of confusion for what we are trying to do. And we all know, I would hope everyone listening, that confusion and instability is not good for business. Businesses thrive when there's steadiness and stability, and we don't have that right now.
So if I understand correctly, we have 145% tariff on items from China. Do you sell things from China?
We do, yes. So there are some items in our, yeah.
So just tell me how that impacts the price of a good that has that already gone into place? I mean, how instantaneously do these things happen? 1 minute it was 10%, then it was 45%, then it was 85 or 145. I'm having trouble keeping track. But as these numbers ping pong in the media, are you in real time feeling the impact of that?
Much like you, we too are little bit lost with how quickly things go into effect and how quickly we will see the impact on our end. More often than not, the way it works is we place an order with maybe a brand or one of our suppliers or distributors. We pay for that order up front. And then whenever those products are available, sometimes they're ready then, sometimes they have to make them or it takes a while to get them, they send them to us. And then we typically receive an invoice for any tariffs or duties after the fact. And we've been doing this for 2 years now, and we've experienced that. We'll get a bill for $100, $200 here and there, you know, maybe a couple of weeks after we get something. Now the fear is, are we going to get products in the store, which is what happened with this post I shared on Instagram last week. We get something in the shop, we put it out, we start selling it, and then 5 weeks later, we get a bill for tariffs and fees for that order, which means we've now been selling those items at a loss for the past month.
When you got that notice, that's very interesting to me that you pay, you'll acquire the item that you purchased, and then these tariffs, fees, and taxes come in an invoice later that is forwarded to you essentially by the shipper. Is that correct?
That's right. And there are other ways, from my understanding now, since posting this, you know, we've heard from folks that are shipping brokers that work in logistics and supply chain that said, you know, there's maybe some other ways you can do this to have a little more predictability. But for a lot of small shops like us, I mean, we're not shipping at the scale where we have in-house brokerage for customs or anything like that. So, you know, we've just kind of relied on the shipper to do it for us.
And okay, so then this, you put the pen on the shelf and you've paid for it, but you know you have to pay the duty on that, and now here it comes. Sure. And so what was the uptick then from when you purchased it, and maybe we're absorbing a 10% tariff to what was the new tariff that you had to pay?
Yeah, so for this past order, so there were pre-existing Trump tariffs from the first Trump administration. So those started back in 2019 on Chinese goods. So we had already had some of those. In this order, we had that additional 10% tariff that went into effect in early February on Chinese goods. And then what we're trying to sort out right now, again, John, all this confusion that's kind of being caused by this right now, is did we get hit with an additional 10% tariff between the time of ordering and the time of receiving the invoice? Is that tariff accurate? We're not quite sure. We've reached out to UPS about it, but, you know, we have an email and a queue of, I'm sure, plenty of emails that they have to respond to now with these same questions. But yeah, so we think on this order in particular, we were it looks like on the invoice, we were taxed, you know, maybe 25 to 65% depending on the item. Different items have different tariffs depending on kind of what they contain and which materials are tariffed at which rates.
So you shared this with us on a ballpoint pen designed in Paris, made in China. So maybe you're on the Parisian website, you see the pen you want to offer here in Chicago and Andersonville. It's made in China. So Paris or the EU isn't the problem here. It's China, right?
That's right. Yeah. So in this case, we are billed on the tariff based on country of origin. So since this item is manufactured in China, those are the tariffs that kind of come all the way through to us. So that product cost $3.50. We're bringing that in from Paris. So, you know, around, I don't know, 15 cents, a quarter to get that here with shipping. In the past, we would have this 10% tariff. So that would put the item at about $4 total cost. And then we charge $10 for that. So nice 60% margin. No one's getting rich off of selling $10 ballpoint pens. I promise you that. But it makes a living. It allows us to have a small team, keep our shop running. So that's what we've been doing for 2 years. It's worked so far. But I also sent you some numbers of what that new 145% tariff would look like. And that's the part that's a little concerning for us.
But let's just go over those first set of numbers. So the cost is $3.50 to you. The shipping cost per pen comes to 15 cents. Then you are actually paying a 10% tariff on that, 35 cents. So those costs are $4. And you sell it for 10, that's a $6 margin. But then don't you pay taxes on the profit that you're making? And then you've got utility bills, you've got staff, you want to make a living yourself. So it's a 60% margin. And I guess the bottom line is people are willing to pay $10 for that pen. So whatever the margin is or the cost is, $10 seems to be fair in the marketplace, right?
It does, yeah. We sell a lot of this particular pen. It's a nice little twistable ballpoint pen. It's refillable, so it's not more single-use garbage going into a landfill. People love them. They're decorative. They're cute, you know, so people really like that. And, yeah, like you said, there's rent, utilities, taxes, payroll taxes, staff costs. The city bag tax just went up, you know, this year. So all those things.
Yeah. Well, so I think you're leaving out some costs there. It's not really even a 60% margin for you, but never mind that. Now,
sure.
Let's go back and do the same pen, $3.50, 15 cents to get it in the door. Now the tariff has gone from 35 cents to $5.08. So the new total cost for that pen is $8.73. You want to sell it for $10. Would you sell that for $10 then if it's costing you $8.73 to put it on the shelf?
No, we couldn't. I mean, if we wanted to keep the same margin, which is a generous 60% margin, on just the product, not including any other expenses for running the shop, you know, we'd be at over $18, almost $19 for the ballpoint pen. And the market just won't bear it. I don't see us selling a $19 pen, no matter how, you know, for that, you know, we sell $20, $50, $200 pens in our shop, but that's for fine writing fountain pens or brass pens, those types of things.
People won't pay $18.50 for this pen. So now yeah. What happens? And I think part of the equation is that China so wants to get that pen to Andersonville that they're going to lower the cost on their side, because otherwise they know you'll stop selling their pen. We're the consumers. We've got the leverage here. So maybe that's a possibility. Have you seen any indication that that will happen from the supplier side?
No, we're not seeing that. And for us, there's kind of the added variable for having a retail shop is we are not manufacturing the goods ourselves. So we are purchasing from brands that design and manufacture the products for the brand, and then they sell it to us at a wholesale cost. So they would be responsible for negotiating those rates. This is a French-based brand, so they're navigating everything in the EU with manufacturing. So does it make sense for them to adjust their pricing, adjust their profit, adjust their margin, negotiate with the factory to get a lower price to sell it to us? Or do they just say, well, you know what, maybe we don't do as much business in the U.S. and just double down on what we're doing here in the EU and focus on other markets? I mean, if I were in their shoes, that's what I would do. I would hate to lose my U.S. customer base. But also as a shop, I mean, I'm not planning on reordering from this brand. And look, I reached out to this brand recently. They emailed me back this morning and they said, we have no idea what's going on. We have no idea how this is going to impact our prices. We don't have an answer for you right now. So, of course, I'm not going to order from them, which is really frustrating because it's a great brand. We love working with them. Our customers
love them. Wait a minute. You're not going to order for them because even though that pen is still going to cost $3.50 and your customers want it, but then after the fact, you're going to get an invoice. And if it's 145%, then you say you'll actually be upside down. You will lose money after you pay your light bill and your employees. You'll lose money on that pen. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Good Lord, are we getting a lot of text messages about this conversation we're having with Tyler? I'll share some of them with him in just a second, and we'll ask him then, why don't you just buy American pens? So we're talking with Tyler McCall, co-owner of Paper and Pen in Andersonville. Your fan club is writing in, by the way, Tyler. I love Paper and Pencil in Andersonville. Thank you, King John. Oh, my God, I'm wearing a garment that was made in Turkey, said somebody else. Somebody said, is there anything in this store that can be purchased from a U.S. company, or does that not exist? You said it's about 50% of your stuff is imported. Is that right?
That's right. I would say over 50% now is imported.
Imported. Yeah. And why don't you then take this $10 pen and source it with an American company?
Yeah, there's a couple of issues. So one is that there's a lot of great stationery from around the world, and people want to be able to purchase it right here in their neighborhood. And I think it's really unfair to our customers to exclude them from having access to really beautifully made European stationery and really high quality Japanese stationery, things that people want to purchase. And so that's part of the issue there. There's also not the manufacturing in the United States to make a $10 all metal refillable ballpoint pen, you know, and heck, maybe there is, and I just don't know about it. But if you look into, you know, a ballpoint pen made in the United States, there's a few brands that are doing it. Is every component of that pen made in the United States? I doubt it. You know, there's a difference between assembled in the United States or designed in the United States. And
so that pen might hit it. There might be a tariff on that pen too then, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then is that pen going to be able to be, you know, sold to us at a wholesale price of $3 to $5 so they can, we can then retail it at $10? I don't know. I mean, so those are just a lot of the variables. We sell lots of American products in our shop. We have greeting cards that are designed and printed in Albany Park and that are designed in Rogers Park and printed here in the Midwest. We sell notebooks that are designed and made and assembled in Los Angeles. But paper is made from pulp that comes from Canada, and metal material that's used to make coil binding on notebooks is made outside of the United States. And so there's a lot of different variables, and these tariffs can start to impact every single part of that product, even if it is made in the United States.
Well, I'll take your point also, though, that say you could find a $10 pen in America that was sufficiently similar that maybe you could replace it. But the point is that it's a whole world of products. And if people in Chicago want to buy something that's made in Europe or China and is different, I mean, we don't have the market on everything everywhere, they ought to be able to buy it. And you would hope that they would be able to buy it at a price that would make it affordable for people. So this is going to either exclude that market or exclude these people. This conversation also makes me think a little bit about what happened during the pandemic, or at least it's a conversation we have about restaurants a lot, and that is, well, maybe you ought to charge a little more, and the customer, realizing that you have to charge more, will pay a little more. If it's tipped waiters who now get a minimum wage, just pass the cost along. Do you have any way of calculating what the price is that people will pay for a product? How will you know when you're cutting yourself short or charging too much?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we are still, we're a baby shop in the world of, you know, local retail shops. We've been doing it for 2 years now. We have a lot of data and information on our customers. We kind of know the price point. Like, you know, we can sell a gel pen for, you know, $450 to $750 pretty easily. We can sell a vinyl sticker for $450. We can sell a greeting card for $699. Like, we kind of know those prices. And yeah, are we starting to adjust prices? Sure. We just over the past week, we've started to adjust some prices because of these tariffs and the potential impact. My concern, John, is that, okay, if we charge a little bit more, which we have been, because a local shop is always going to be more expensive than Amazon or a big box store, and we do that, let's say we have to raise our prices an additional 10% in the next few weeks or months because of these tariffs, what happens when everyone else raises their prices 10%? And what happens when it's more expensive for your groceries and more expensive to go to Target and your Amazon orders are more expensive? And everyone starts to feel that pressure, and people can't make the conscious choice to choose a local independent retailer because we are more expensive. And then they just go online and get the same product for potentially cheaper, if the price does increase because of tariffs. So that's the concern for us going into summer, and just, you know, consumer confidence is continuing to decrease.
Oh, that's another conversation. Yeah. Yeah. Tyler McCall is the co-owner of Paper and Pencil. It's in Andersonville. PaperandPencilChicago.com is the website. Tyler, thanks for explaining some of that to us. This has been very helpful today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.